You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Well, this past week, 250 of our California Pacific clergy got together for our annual clergy convocation. Now, only clergy would choose to be in Indian Wells in the middle of August. And so we had delightful weather where it reached 116 every day. Again, only clergy in Southern California would choose to do something like that. But fortunately, the buildings were air-conditioned and we stayed inside the entire time. As we got together this year, we had an opportunity to hear a great deal from our bishop, Grant Haggia, as well as the special speaker that came in, Brian McLaren. Some of you may have heard of Brian, some of you may have read his books, but he is one of the people right now that's doing a lot of thinking about the great transition in which we find ourselves as God's people, specifically those of us who are choosing to follow Jesus. Now, as you might imagine, for this gathering of clergy, there was a certain amount of weariness because it's been a challenging year. It has been a challenging year for all of us. It's been a challenging year to preach and to try to understand the culture that's around us and what is unfolding for us, particularly those of us who live in this country and say that we are followers of Jesus. So to say that this was a concerned group of people is an understatement. And Brian McLaren, when he came in, certainly had a great understanding of the sense of the audience that was there and the things that were on our hearts and minds. And of course, he chose to challenge us. He chose to challenge us in a way that perhaps was a little bit uncomfortable, because a lot of what he was dealing with was a concept of our needing to open our eyes and to accept the reality that was now around us, that we could no longer pretend that we were a part of a different reality. And when I think of this concept of acceptance, and that's what we're going to be working with today and what was being emphasized in the passage from Henri Nouwen today, acceptance can be a somewhat troubling word. The problem is sometimes when we think of acceptance, we almost think of it as being a place where we're finally having to admit defeat, that there's nothing else that we can do, that it's just the way it is going to be. And sometimes we fear that when we say we accept something, that we are, in a sense, saying that the bad is okay. But I think that's the wrong way for us to be looking at acceptance, that in some respects, acceptance, as we're going to think about and talk about today, can be a very liberating and an empowering thing. One of the things that Mr. McLaren stuck right in front of us, writ very large, is the fact that he said we need to accept the fact that there are monsters in our world today. There are monsters. Our racism is a monster. Our apathy is a monster. Our attitudes about white supremacy that still exist are monstrous. Our ignorance is a monster. And he went on down this long list of the monsters that are there and that we had to accept the reality that they are there. But the other thing that he impressed upon us is the sense that we don't have to accept that this is the way it will always be. And he also cautioned us, too, that in this place and this time, and this was a word that we really needed to hear, those of us who were gathered, that when there are so many monsters out there, it is so easy for us to also become the monsters. It's easy for us to become the monsters in our response to the monsters. So it was a very challenging time. And as I've read and reread this part of the book from Henri Nouwen's With Open Hands, I've been very challenged by this concept of acceptance. And that's part of why early on I looked at this passage that we're going to consider today about Nicodemus, because there's really a message about acceptance in that passage. Now, Nicodemus, as we were told, was a Pharisee. So what? That's a question we're probably asking because we hear the word Pharisee or Sadducee or Zealot or some of these things thrown out there so often, but we really need to think about just what that meant. And what I'm suggesting to us is to think about it this way. When we live in charged times, in the kind of times in which we live, if a person were to say that they were a progressive or a conservative or a Republican or an independent or a Democrat, does that evoke a certain kind of response within you right now? Think about that. If a person identifies themselves that way, does that invoke a response? Well, what if a person were to say that they were a fundamentalist or an evangelical or progressive Christian? Would that cause you to have some kind of reaction to that person? What if you knew that a person supported ACLU activities? Or what if you knew that there was a person that supported white supremacist ideals? Would it shade your perception? What would you think? I think we know the answer. Of course this affects us. Well, you see, in this particular setting, Nicodemus was not just another rank and file Jew. The gospel writer, in fact, wanted to make it very clear that he was a Pharisee, and being a Pharisee meant something to that first century audience, something that we perhaps don't consider today. Now, the Pharisees, they were a particular set of leadership within ancient Judaism. Sometimes the Pharisees were considered to be a political party. Sometimes the Pharisees represented a social movement. Other times the Pharisees were purveyors of a particular school of thought. In fact, our modern rabbinic movement, rabbinic tradition, rabbinic interpretation traces its roots back to the Pharisees that we read about in the Gospels. Now, this group of the Pharisees was not to be confused with the Sadducees, the group that they very often found themselves at odds. Not only at odds with each other, but these two groups of elites within Judaism were more often at odds with Jesus. So think of what you've got going there. You've got these two groups that are at odds with Jesus, these two groups that are at odds with each other. It makes for an interesting scenario, doesn't it? Now you see, the Sadducees favored becoming more like Greek culture, the Greeks. In fact, they were known for favoring a very literal interpretation of the texts. And we know how that can be a very challenging thing for us today as we interpret these texts, how having a literalist interpretation can take us down some much different paths. The Pharisees were the opposite to this. They were much more open in trying to interpret meaning. And what we had here often was a scenario where Jesus actually played the Pharisees and the Sadducees off of each other. Now, under the cover of night, the gospel writer tells us, Nicodemus sought out Jesus. He visited him. Now, it's probably pretty obvious why he came by the cover of night. He did not want others to see him. He didn't want the other Pharisees to see what he was doing. But we interpret from this text that there was something about Jesus that caught his interest. And it seems that he wanted to come into a deeper understanding about this itinerant teacher and healer. Perhaps we might speculate that Nicodemus had seen firsthand this miraculous way that Jesus was changing people's lives. Well, when he arrived, he greeted Jesus by calling him teacher, rabbi, and then commented that it was very clear to him that Jesus was with God and that God was with Jesus, because how else could the signs and wonders that were taking place be explained? And then there was this dialogue that ensued between the two. And let's face it, it was an odd dialogue, as often the dialogues are in John's gospel. They're a little bit odd to our modern understanding. Jesus responded to him that no one could see God's realm without being born from above. And Nicodemus focused on the words of, how is it possible to be born again? What does this mean? And all in all, I don't know how you are, but when I read it, it's not a very satisfying interchange, is it? It's unclear whether Nicodemus actually received what he was wanting. And as is so typical in the Gospel of John fashion, Jesus was a bit cagey. Then again, as we commented, Jesus and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were not best buds, were they? Well, this passage has been obviously interpreted in a variety of ways through the ages. And most often, it's when we think of Christian traditions that have this heavy emphasis on you must be born again. And this is the text they glom onto. But I sometimes wonder if we might not be better served in not getting so fixated on the specifics of this being born again, but rather look at this text from a higher vantage point. You see, one way to consider this text is that Jesus' emphasis on the Holy Spirit going where it will, in mysterious ways, if you will, and his intimating that one sees God at work in God's realm when one is centered in God, that's really the focus of this text. That this concept of being born again is saying that we're trying to very intentionally center ourselves in God. So you might say in one respect that our task is acceptance, accepting this reality that we're being called to be deeply centered in God. We accept the fact that digging deep with God is how God really becomes a part of our life. And for me, I like to say that's what born again means. And Jesus was always in his teaching marvelously clear of what it meant to dig deep. And I think we could say that we are born again when our goal is to love God, when our goal is to love ourselves, and when our goal is to love our neighbor. When we're doing that, we are accepting the fact that we are not the center of the universe, but instead that we find our center and we find our hope and we've refined our redemption and our forgiveness. We find our very being in that deep relationship with God. When we accept that fact that we're to open ourselves to be in a deep relationship with God. And it's that sort of acceptance and approach that I think is foundational to the life of prayer from Henry Nouwen's perspective. Now, this is our third week, as you might know, in considering this concept of how prayer exposes us and opens us and creates what we're calling the sense of being raw with God. The first week, we reflected on how our lives are sometimes like closed fists, being unable to let go as well as receive. And when we have closed fists, it blocks our ability to connect in prayer. And last week, we spent a great deal of time considering and reflecting on the need for silence and the lack of silence in our lives. And just how difficult it is for us to focus away from the too much and instead look at the most important, mindfulness, we called it. Well, this week we focus on Father Nouwen's suggestion that acceptance is also a part of the bedrock of prayer. And acceptance means that we are open to the mysterious ways in which God works, in which the Holy Spirit works, and we are open to being vulnerable to God. Acceptance is our realization that not only are we not God, but we do not want to be God. God is God. Acceptance means that we see ourselves for exactly who we are, with 20/20 vision, the truth, the reality. Acceptance means we acknowledge the need, the profound need we have for God. This practice of acceptance that Nouwen talks about is indicative of the knowledge, and it's also based in the knowledge that God takes us exactly as we are, exactly who we are, and that God takes us just as we are and showers grace and love and the transforming Spirit upon us. And when we allow that to happen, when we accept that reality, I really believe that's when transformation actually starts to take place within us. So we're going to do a little experiment here today, gathered together, an experiment in prayer, because I really think it's important for us to start working through some of these concepts that we have been considering. So I'd like you to put things down and to get yourself into a relaxed position and to close your eyes and to clench your fists. And as you're clenching your fists, I'd like us to consider what are the things that are causing us to have clenched fists. What are the frustrations? What is the anger or the hatred perhaps that is within us? At the same time, what are the things we're holding onto so tightly that we refuse to let go? And sometimes they are things that we need to let go. Let your mind be at work right now, thinking about what it is we have in these clenched fists. And now, friends, I slowly invite us to open our hands and to imagine those things to which we cling so tightly are now moving away from us. What are those things that we now choose to let go of? What are those things? And now with our hands open, let us still our hearts, let us still our minds, and sit in silence. Silence, seeking God's Spirit and God's leading. And now that we've opened our hands and have opened our hearts and have enjoyed some silence, let's reflect on what it is we need to accept. What do I need to accept about myself? What do I need to accept about the world around me? Can I accept God dwelling within me? Let's focus on acceptance. Friends, ours is a loving God who desires us to be pulled in. Are we willing to accept that? Acceptance is a multifaceted word. Just because we accept something doesn't mean we have to accept what is bad. And accepting God doesn't mean we have to change ourselves. It's about being honest and open with who we are and letting God work within to transform us. You see, acceptance, I believe, means being honest about ourselves. And when we're honest with ourselves, we try to start to see ourselves as God sees us. And we realize that God takes us exactly as we are. Now and reminds us that prayer is above all acceptance. And that accepting means we invite others. We invite God into our world. How is it with you? Where does acceptance fit into your life? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.